You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 4th of January 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. It's the first Daily Nationalist of the new year, so happy new year to all you listeners out there. We have some good news to get into first off here, but just before we get into that, I just want to point out something that's being said about Donald Trump. He's in the news at the moment because there was a phone call that was leaked between him and Greg Raffensperger, I think his name is. He's the governor of Georgia. And the BBC and the rest of the press are leaking a heavily edited section of the phone call and pretending that it's actually saying the opposite of what it's saying. The bit they are leaking is where Trump says, I want to find the 11,000 votes. And then they cut it off and they imply that he's trying to find 11,000 votes to add to his tally. In actual fact, he's referring to 11,000 votes that they have identified that were fraudulently cast. Dead people voting, people that don't live in the state voting, people voting twice, all that sort of thing. It's very disingenuous of the BBC and the rest of them to pretend that he's actually saying the opposite when the transcript of the conversation is out there and it is available on other news channels. I'm really looking forward to seeing what's going to happen on Wednesday when we have at least a dozen Republican senators who are going to object to the electors' count because the election was fraudulent. Of course, also on the Wednesday, we have this huge rally that is taking place in support of Donald Trump. And we are hoping to have No White Guilt on the show live from the rally in Washington, D.C. So you've got that to look forward to on Wednesday. Now, let's get into this good news. Just before I started recording this, it came out on the news that WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange cannot be extradited to the United States. A court in London has ruled. The judge blocked the request because of concerns over Mr. Assange's mental health and risk of suicide in the United States. And I can't help but wonder if the Jeffrey Epstein suicide played a part in this. Quite clearly, America could not guarantee the life of Jeffrey Epstein, then they're not going to be able to guarantee the life of Julian Assange, are they? So is this a good thing? It could be a good thing, but then again, it could also be a bad thing. There are a lot of calls at the moment for Donald Trump to pardon Julian Assange. And if Julian Assange is not actually within American custody, how can he pardon him? I guess he could call off the investigation, but is that the equivalent of pardoning someone? Normally, somebody is pardoned once they've actually been sentenced and they're let out early, as we saw recently with the Jewish spy that was let out early and went back to Israel. And also, we've seen Jared Kushner's father being pardoned and a few others, people to do with Blackwater. But they were all actually within prison when they were pardoned. So perhaps it is that the situation is that Donald Trump can't actually pardon Julian Assange until he's in American custody. And by this judge blocking Assange's extradition, it means that he can't be pardoned. So it may not be such a good thing from that point of view. But obviously from the point of view that Julian Assange doesn't want to go there because that's where the charges against him are, then it's a good thing. The US authorities have 14 days in which to lodge an appeal and are expected to do so. Mr. Assange will now be taken back to Belmarsh Prison, where he is being held, and a full application for his bail will be made on Wednesday. His lawyer, Ed Fitzgerald, told the court there will be evidence to show that Mr. Assange will not abscond. And, of course, this is because he was put in prison for a year for breaking bail conditions, and that was 8 months ago, so he has served two-thirds of his sentence and should be liable to be released. District Judge Vanessa Baritzer ruled that while US prosecutors met the tests for Mr. Assange to be extradited for trial, the US was incapable of preventing him from attempting to take his own life. Mr. Assange was jailed for 50 weeks in May 2019 for breaching his bail conditions after going into hiding in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. He sought refuge in the embassy for 7 years from 2012 until he was arrested in April 2019. At the time he fled to the embassy, he had been facing extradition to Sweden on allegations of sexual assault, which he denied. That case was later dropped. So once this sentence is up, this 50-week sentence, Julian Assange should be free to go. If he can't be extradited to America because there is a risk that he might commit suicide and they won't be able to prevent that, then he should be free. And if you can get this bail so that he can serve the rest of his sentence on probation, he could be free within Britain. So this could be very good news. We'll have to keep watching and see what happens when the US authorities appeal within 14 days, because of course they could say, well, we are going to put special conditions in place to prevent him from being able to commit suicide. I mean, it is feasible that they could do that and say that he'll be watched 24 hours a day. And what the British authorities are saying is that in Belmarsh Prison, that is specially set up for solitary confinement. It's specially set up for terrorists so that the other prisoners can't attack them. And when people are within solitary confinement, they have to be watched because they can get very depressed, they can get suicidal, and America just doesn't really have those facilities, whereas Belmarsh Prison was created specifically with that sort of internment in mind. So good news anyway that Julian Assange is not going to be extradited. The next article I have here I want to talk about for two reasons. Britain's youngest terrorist, who was convicted of plotting to behead a police officer at the age of 14, is set to be released back onto the streets with a lifelong anonymity after serving just 5 years in custody. The terrorist is one of the few child criminals in Britain to be granted lifelong anonymity, meaning that upon his release, the public will have zero knowledge that a terrorist is living in their midst. Now, the last time that I can recall them giving somebody anonymity, it was the James Bulger killers. And with that anonymity, one of them has gone on to carry out all sorts of horrendous crimes. He's been caught with child abuse, images, all sorts of things. And the public have no idea that he is living among them. His neighbours have no idea who he is. And this is obviously an Islamic terrorist, carried this out at the age of 14. And we're now going to spend an absolute fortune on ensuring that he has anonymity after doing that. Is that right? I don't think it is. But there's a second reason why I want to talk about this. A parole board hearing for the convicted terrorist, referred to only as RXG, will be held next week, and it is highly likely that he will be released on licence. RXG was handed a life sentence with a minimum of 5 years in prison at Manchester Crown Court in 2015 after pleading guilty to inciting terrorism overseas. The court heard that he convinced 18-year-old Sevdet Basim to commit mass murder and behead a policeman in Melbourne, Australia, during an Anzac Day, an Australian equivalent of Remembrance Sunday or Veterans Day. The two terrorists would have, in all probability, been successful had British police not uncovered the plot and alerted Australian officials. So what we have here is he hasn't actually carried out the terrorism himself, but what he has done is he has encouraged somebody else to do this. And the reason why I want to bring this up is because we do see a lot of silliness like this in the white nationalist community, Fed posting. A lot of the time it is intelligence operatives that are trying to see whether they can identify people that are susceptible to doing things like this. So they will encourage somebody that they think is susceptible to doing things like this. They will encourage them to carry out a terrorist act. They will get some way of proving that they really did have this intent to do this, and then they will arrest them and they will avert the terrorist act from happening. Whether that's right or wrong, that is the way that the intelligence services work. But what we have here is a 14-year-old that was doing this. And having seen some of the white nationalist imagery that would come under the heading of terrorism, having seen some of this myself, I believe a lot of it is created by children. And how do we prevent them from doing this? How do we prevent 13, 14-year-old kids from making terrorist memes and then seeding them? I mean, a lot of the time it is Fed posting, and it could well be the intelligence services. But also, there are a lot of kids that are doing this. We know this because that Sonnenkrieg division, the chat room group that got banned, the leader of the group was a 12-year-old from Estonia or something ridiculous like that. We're seeing younger and younger children that are being investigated, arrested and charged for things like this because they just don't know what it is that they're doing. They don't realise the weight of their actions. They don't realise the consequences of their actions, that it could lead to them being sentenced. This Muslim was sentenced for 5 years. I dare say if it had been a white man, it would have been double that, at least for trying to encourage somebody to carry out a terrorist act. So we need to be on the lookout for this, and we need to try and work out some way of preventing it. Of course, the problem is when you've got somebody that is 13 or 14 years old and they're making these silly memes, they're just going to talk back to you. They're just going to think, oh, you're a boomer. You don't know what you're talking about. This isn't going to get me into trouble. We need to take down the government. They're anti-white. We need to do it by violence. You know, all this sort of thing they're going to say, and they're going to not listen to you because they're going to think that you're past it. You don't see things from their point of view. Perhaps a way of dealing with this would be to have youngsters that are their age that could talk to them. Perhaps if you notice this sort of stuff and you think, well, that's been designed by a child, we could get some other youngsters of that are nearer their age, 16, 17, 18, and tell them which chat room it is that you saw this in, and see whether they could go in there and talk some sense into them. Because it is a concern that we could have young white men that have their lives ruined for carelessly making memes like this. So I know people don't want to hear that. They want to hear me criticizing this Muslim lad for doing this, but it is a problem that we see amongst the white nationalist community as well as in the Islamic community. So keep an eye out for this stuff and try and dissuade people from doing it, especially if you can see that it is children, because I have a suspicion a lot of it is actually children. It may not even be the intelligence services. It could just be daft children that are doing this. Well, I've got another news report here, and it's actually an article from 2017. But the reason I'm talking about it now is there are all sorts of headlines from a couple of months back in America, in the New York Times and elsewhere, about the same subject. One of the titles was Black Girls 5 times More Likely Than White to Be Suspended, 4 times More Likely to Be Arrested. And from all over America, there are reports on this. There are reports on this disparity. And I found this website called The Root, and they have a subheading of The Blacker the Content, the Sweeter the Truth. So they're obviously black nationalists, or that they're advocating for blacks. They're probably trying to do the same thing that we're doing here at Radio Albion. They're trying to speak up for their people. But it's very interesting the way that they look at this and the statistics that they point out. They say black girls do not present more frequent or serious discipline problems. Well, quite clearly they do. If they're five times more likely than whites to be suspended, there is a serious discipline problem, isn't there? They say they are not slow learners, nor do they struggle academically more than any other student. But we know that they have an average IQ of 85, and we know that whites have an average IQ of 100. So we know that they are going to be slow learners once they get to the age of about 13 or 14. They will be quick learners when they're young, when they are at primary school, because they mature faster and because that's the way the IQ works. But once they get to about 13 or 14, the white children continue to mature intellectually while the black children don't. And this is just a biological fact. So we know, and we know from the figures that they do struggle academically more than other students. This is why we don't see many of them at universities. This is why they are putting all this money into trying to get more of them to go to university. But the Roots say, according to a new report from the National Women's Law Centre, black girls are twice as likely as any other student to be suspended and five times more likely to be temporarily kicked out of school than their white counterparts. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because if you are temporarily kicked out of school, then you are suspended. So they're saying that they are five times more likely to be suspended than their white counterparts. The National Women's Law Centre is an organisation that has worked for over 40 years promoting equality and opportunity for women and families. In its new report, Stopping School Pushout for Girls of Colour, the group analysed education data from every state and found that black female students face disproportionately harsher punishments in school. The results are startling. In Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Illinois, black girls are 8.5 times more likely than white girls to be suspended, according to US News and World Report. In Washington, D.C., black girls are 73% of the school population, but 94% of all girls suspended. That means they are 17.8 times more likely than white girls to be suspended. So quite clearly, there's a problem here, isn't there? There is a problem that there must be much more bad behaviour going on by these black girls than there is white girls. That's the obvious explanation for this. If you were to say that boys make up 73% of the school population, but 94% of all the people suspended, so that means boys are 17.8 times more likely than girls to be suspended, people would say, well, that is because boys are more likely to cause trouble in school, aren't they? They wouldn't say, well, that must be because the school is anti-boy. The report's authors say that a number of factors contribute to this situation, including these. Stereotypes of black girls and women as angry or aggressive and promiscuous or hypersexualized can shape school officials' views of black girls in critically harmful ways. So what are they saying here? Are they saying that these black girls haven't been angry or aggressive, haven't done anything in the classroom to cause them to be suspended? They just got suspended for nothing? I mean, quite clearly, that what the report shows is that it is not a stereotype that black girls get angry or aggressive. It's not a stereotype that has caused them to be suspended. It's their behaviour that has caused them to be suspended. And this is the report that is actually saying this and saying this is the reason, not the black advocates here at the Root. They're just reporting on it. Black girls are punished for challenging what society deems feminine behavior, like being candid or talking back. So again, what we see here is these girls must have been rude to the teachers. They've been talking back to the teacher. It's not because that's not feminine behaviour, it's because that is a discipline problem. They say implicit and explicit biases about black children's behaviour and capacity to learn. And again, it can't be any bias here that has caused this, it's because it's the behaviour. The teachers don't just go in there and say, right, well, we're going to suspend you for nothing. We're going to suspend you because we don't like the colour of your skin. That is a nonsense. They are suspended because of their bad behaviour. They say black students are more likely to attend under-resourced schools. Well, I don't know why that is. It could be because black students tend to go to schools in areas that don't have many resources because they have a high unemployment rate, which is something else that we see among the black community. And you can't say that they move to areas that have high unemployment. When they move there, they create the high unemployment. Look at Detroit. Detroit used to be a manufacturing center in America. And as soon as it became majority black, it started having a massive unemployment rate and things started falling apart exactly the same as it does in Haiti and everywhere else that they are. It's not the fact that there was unemployment there and under resources when they moved there. It's the fact that happened after they had moved there. It's like when they riot during these Black Lives Matter protests and destroy businesses and burn the businesses down, and then the businesses move away, and then they say, well, there's no businesses here. There's no jobs for us. We don't have any way that we can get employment. But the reason for that is because they burned the businesses down. The same thing happened in South Africa. They would say, well, there's no schooling. Well, they burned the schools down. That's why there wasn't schooling. And they said, well, we burned the schools down because they weren't teaching African history. They were teaching English history. Well, there was no African history to teach. There was no African written language. The logic here is lacking. They say assertiveness, while an asset in males, is often suppressed in black girls at school, according to the report. They say, ironically, the quality of assertiveness generally has led to positive public perceptions of black women in leadership roles. Yes, has it? In fact, the Let Her Learn survey found that black girls were more likely than any other group of girls to see themselves as leaders. So, no, that's not saying that there's positive public perceptions of black women in leadership roles. What that is actually saying is that black girls have a very high opinion of themselves. This is something else that has been found through psychiatric tests. When they do tests on the different races to see what their opinion is of themselves, blacks consistently come out with a higher opinion of themselves. When you ask them to estimate how well they are going to do in a test, they will estimate that they do far, far more and far better than they actually do on the test. They have far more confidence than white people do as a race. They have far more confidence in their own capabilities. Again, so we see them saying, well, yes, we're perfectly capable of running a country. And then we see what happens in South Africa. We see what happens in Liberia. We see what happens in Haiti. And again, we see what happens in Detroit. Yet if you ask them, they will say, oh, yes, we're perfectly capable of doing this. So that's what this shows. It doesn't show that society has positive public perceptions of black women in leadership roles. Their survey shows that black girls see themselves as leaders, not that the rest of society does. They say, however, in the school setting, assertiveness can often be misidentified as talking back or defiance, which puts them at greater risk for inequitable discipline. Well, don't talk back to the teacher. Don't be defiant to the teacher. I mean, these are discipline things. That it's to do with discipline. That's why these black girls are being disciplined, is because they're breaking the school rules. That's not assertiveness, that's breaking the rules. The report highlights how the underfunding of black schools manifests itself in how girls of colour are educated. The study's data show that as the percentage of black student populations rises at schools across the country, schools statistically hire fewer counsellors per student and more law enforcement officers. Again, why would that be? Why would the school be hiring more law enforcement officers? Obviously, because the students are carrying out more crimes. They don't just hire law enforcement officers for no reason. They have to be carrying out more crimes for this to happen. And yet, this black advocate here is, I don't know what they're suggesting is the reason why they are employing more law enforcement officers. Are they saying they don't need to have law enforcement officers? They say, how do these biases manifest themselves? NWLC data reveal how black girls are excluded from participating in programs that are thought of as traditionally male, increasing barriers to educational and financial success. Really? They're being excluded? Are they being told that they can't enroll in this program because they are black? Well, they don't actually show any evidence of that. They say, for instance, almost a third of black girls attend high schools with no chemistry or calculus programs, while only around 18% of white girls do. This is part of the reason that women of colour are underrepresented in STEM or science, technology, engineering and mathematics fields. Well, why don't they go to a school with chemistry and calculus programs, if that's what they want to do? Quite clearly, they don't want to do this. There is a huge push at the moment in STEM fields to get more women into the STEM disciplines, and they just don't want to do it. In the STEM disciplines, they're having to lower the standards, give the girls more time in the tests, allow them to have less test results, allow them to get into the these research programs with less papers published than you would expect of a man to have published. They're doing all these things to try and get more women in there. They're certainly not excluding them and saying, we don't want you in here because you're black. Quite the opposite. They will say, because you're black, you can have a scholarship fund, you can have extra tuition, you can have extra time on your test. And this person who is writing this is obviously blind to what is actually going on. The report recommends educating teachers on implicit bias. So they're saying this must all be bias that's causing this. It can't be the bad behaviour, can't be the low IQ, it can't be the fact that they're carrying out more crimes and talking back to the teacher. It's just that the teacher himself or herself must have an implicit bias there somewhere. They're just biased against them for the colour of their skin. It has nothing to do with their behaviour. The report recommends enforcing anti-discrimination policies and reporting data, among other things. So what they mean there is having quotas and saying you can't suspend the black girls. You can only suspend the black girls as much as you suspend the white girls. And of course, if the black girls are in some cases 17 times more likely to break the school rules than the white pupils, it means they're just going to get let off. They'll just be able to do whatever they like. It's not going to solve the problem, is it? The NWLC also suggests that lawmakers focus on data, increase school funding in minority areas, and find ways to implement policies that tackle discrimination. So they're always asking for more money. They think that's the solution to everything. It is up to schools, legislators, and officials to tackle these issues so that black women have the same opportunities as the rest of society. They do have the same opportunities. It's just that they are not the same as everybody else. They're not the same as white people. And I think they know this. They know they're not the same as us. That's why they don't ask for a meritocracy. That's why they ask for all these special privileges for themselves. They say, of course, the conservative counterpoint to this will be, I really can't think of how anyone could come up with an argument to redirect blame on this one. Well, I'm not talking about blame, I'm just talking about reality. The fact is, it's bad behaviour that causes someone to be suspended, not implicit biases. So a conservative can counter this. They say, I can only think of one thing black girls could do to stop getting kicked out of school at five times the rate of white girls for the same behaviour. Maybe they could just stop being black. And on that, I agree, because this is what they're saying. They are saying, we are different to you. We do carry out more crimes. We do have a lower IQ. We are not able to get on in this society to the same level as you because of this. And the only way that we could get on in society to the same level as you is if you are penalised in some way. If we take from you, if we hobble you, if we have diversity quotas so the best person for the job can't be given the job. If we have rules put in place to say that you can't suspend black girls for their behaviour. This is what they're saying. That's why they say at the end of this article, maybe they could just stop being black. Because this is part of black behaviour. It is not white racism that causes them to get suspended. It's not white racism that stops them from being in STEM subjects. It's the fact that they are a different race. And the sooner we come to acknowledge that fact in government, which is where it really needs to be acknowledged, the sooner we can actually put policies in place which are going to benefit them and are going to benefit us, instead of all the time making these policies that benefit blacks and penalise whites for being white. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.